Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for SN Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the SN Fresen show. It's Adrian Bugatti and Sharon Lurie.
Hello.
And we're talking Purim. It's our silly season. It's the Jewish silly season coming up.
It is. And I mean, some of us are not feeling so great about it. And,
no.
You know, we're thinking about our brothers and sisters in Israel and how they're going to celebrate. But I'm sure they will.
I think they're going to celebrate even harder than before. Yeah. And if you think about Purim, Purim is exactly what's happening to us now. It's the, you know, a group wanting to wipe out the Jews. Once again, what can I say? So we need to celebrate even harder this year and to bring about miracles and the return of all our hostages. Please God, soon.
Oh my.
Yeah. So Purim, like, I don't know about you, Purim is just so lebedic. And I must admit, it's the time of the year I actually have fun with my menu when we don't go out to, like, functions or something.
Yes.
I make what we would refer to as our treif meal. And I kind of take the opportunity to use, say, the vegan cheese with the meat, because the rest of the year you can't do that. It's not 100% correct. Even though, like, it is allowed. But I make cheeseburgers and, you know, ice cream, or...
We start with pudding first.
That's the other thing I was going to say. We do an upside down day. Sometimes we'll have supper for breakfast. And then we finish the night with supper, with breakfast.
Okay.
Eggs and toast and cereal. You know, it's always a fun time to just move things around and just to shake yourself up and just give yourself a little restart button, I think.
Yeah. And you know what I love? That this year it's on a Sunday, which is lovely. And but I have to share something. Before we start on Homentashen, I have to share. So I went to Malava Malka, I think last week or the week before. And what's a Malava Malka? It's a meal
after Shabbos.
After Shabbos. Okay. So, and there was... I mean, I'm not normally that hungry after Shabbos.
No.
And it's normally toasted cheese and tomato. That's our thing. Saturday night, that's our thing. Anyway, so I go to this thing, and I'm not hungry, but I say, okay, I'll try this Japanese noodle salad.
Oh.
Oh, my word. I have to share it with you. Okay, so basically it's the dressing, I think, that made it so wonderful. The pasta you can use the flat spaghetti pasta. Oh, okay, we're going to go to an ad break, and then afterwards I'll give you the recipe.
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
It's Adrian and Sharon today talking Purim, but Sharon is sharing a recipe. You said it was an...
It was a Japanese noodle salad, but it just was... And it had small little pieces of the hot salmon, the peppered salmon.
Oh, nice.
And you can put... I mean, you can put whatever you want in it, really.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You got smoked salmon, I suppose. But it was... The dressing is 3 tablespoons of toast. I must say I played a little bit with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not exactly their recipe, but...
That's fine.
Here's one. 3 tablespoons toasted sesame oil. 3 tablespoons of regular oil. 1/2 teaspoon of red chili flakes.
Mm.
You can use fresh chili if you want. I prefer fresh because we love things hot in our house. 3 tablespoons of honey. 3 tablespoons of soya. 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar or brown vinegar is fine. 3 tablespoons of chopped fresh coriander.
Mm.
3 tablespoons of chopped spring onions. It's that freshness.
Yes.
That was in that salad that was so wonderful. So what did I say? 3 tablespoons chopped spring onions, 1 tablespoon of finely grated ginger, and 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame seeds. So you mix all of the above together and throw it over the pasta. I used, as I said, the
linguine.
Linguine, thank you. And then you can add smoked salmon, the hot peppered salmon, into little bite-sized pieces. Oh,
stunning.
It was so nice. So you can, and you know what? It's something you can make the dressing beforehand.
Yeah.
When everybody comes home or whatever, you can boil up your pasta. You've got your smoked salmon in the fridge or whatever. And you can add, of course, some shredded carrots to it, some snap peas, some whatever you feel like.
This sounds like something that would be nice also for Shabbat's lunch now in this heat.
Exactly.
I know it's meant to be coming to autumn, but our country hasn't got the message.
It sounds amazing.
And for
delicious.
The chilies, for people who would like to use the fresh chilies, if you take your chilies and you sort of squeeze out, you gently roll it between your fingers, your seeds come out.
With gloves.
You just remember to wash your hands. You squeeze out the seeds. It does reduce the heat of the chili, but still give you that fresh chili. Because the seeds are where your heat is.
Correct.
And, I mean, we've got beautiful pepper juice growing.
Yes.
So that sounds like an incredible salad. So now we have to talk Hamantaschen, okay? And I'm going to ask people to please SMS or send us a telegram. So SMS 34519 or telegram 061-895-1019. And I want to know, do you prefer the biscuit or the dough? And then, second question, savory or sweet? So savory would be cream cheese, mon, and probably like tart apples and stuff. And to me, sweet would be the jam or chocolate.
And the apple.
And the apple could be both.
Yeah.
But let us know, what do you prefer for your Hamantaschen? I will tell you now, I definitely prefer the dough with cream cheese.
I think that's what we used to. When a friend of mine sent me a recipe from America.
For the biscuit one.
Yes.
That's what they eat. Yeah. Yes.
We definitely are into our...
And apple was new to me as well. I'd never seen apple in my Hamantaschen.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
No.
I knew apricot jam.
Yes.
And I knew cream cheese. Those were the three that I knew growing up.
And we had, in Durban, we had apple.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? Savory Hamantaschen. In fact, I've got in this week's Jewish Life, last week's Jewish Life, we did real savory Hamantaschen. So it was a bolognese sauce.
Oh, wow.
And next to it, I've got, because apparently it's now in to have Haman's fingers.
Okay.
We've chopped off his fingers.
That would appeal to the... the gruesome kids.
They're celebrating Halloween. But this is like a rolled up cigar.
Yeah.
And a filo pastry. Yeah. I'd put mince in there, sprinkled it with sesame seeds, and there's Haman's fingers and bolognese Hamantaschen.
Okay.
So that's a real savory one.
Yes, that is savory. You know what? Every year I keep saying to myself, I am going to make Hamantaschen. I've made them once. I have this thing that you've got to try everything once. I've made them once. And every year I'll say, I'll make it again. And every year I'll end up buying.
Make it again. You know, nowadays, everybody is scrambling to make like the cutest, prettiest, most exciting Hamantaschen ever. And the ideas are just exploding.
I know. And I mean, people are so creative.
Everybody's just having... I mean, this wonderful chocolate-filled Hamantaschen with it's thousands and thousands on top.
Oh, yes, and the sprinkles, yeah.
Chunks of chocolate and chunks of this fancy chocolate. So, I mean, you literally, it's a pyramid of all this beautiful chocolate on this little triangle.
Oh, okay. I can imagine the dough ones being filled with like a chocolate mousse. That must be nice. Like a chocolate cheesecake filling type thing.
Yes.
I can imagine that being nice. And maybe, I mean, obviously the stewed fruits or like, you know, your berries, like a berry compote in them as something different. Mm-hmm. But I think the biscuit one could probably hold that as well. But I think the dough one. A little bit.
They only hold like a teaspoon. Yeah,
they're a little taste.
Yeah.
You know, not all that much. So I think that's a big thing. And I mean, Hamantaschen are just so synonymous with Purim that when I placed an order for a trip I'm going on with the bakery,
yes,
she replied back, "You haven't ordered any hamantaschen." And I'm like, "No, don't worry." You know, so it was like automatically the lady on the other end of the phone knew exactly what I needed because she knew the dates. I mean, yes. I didn't say it was over Purim or anything. I just gave dates. This is when I'm collecting them.
Good
and
for her.
Her answer was,
she's
and
on the ball.
Ball. And then she offered me more, which I said no.
You know what I found was quite nice because my family, a lot of them are gluten intolerant, whatever. So I did 1 year, and I think I'm going to do it again this year, Rice Krispie Treats.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so the recipe is so simple. It's 3 tablespoons of butter, 250 grams of marshmallows, and 6 cups of Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I've got to be very careful. So I use the gluten-free Rice Krispies.
Yeah.
But you can use regular Rice Krispies. And then what I do is put, you can either put it in the microwave or you can put it on in a large saucepan, melt the butter over low heat, add the marshmallows and stir it well. And then you just add cup by cup of the Rice Krispies, put it into a flat rectangular tray, and then I cut them into triangles, but as sort of you like zigzag,
yes.
You don't waste anything.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, well, and you can actually sandwich them together if they're flat enough with some chocolate. You can put sprinkles on top.
Okay. We've got more recipes coming up. You're listening to Adrian and Sharon.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
You're listening to Adrian and Sharon, and we're chatting about Purim. So we're waiting for your SMSs on 34519 or a telegram on 061-895-1019 to tell us which type of hamantaschen do you prefer, biscuit or pastry, savory or sweet? So what is your favorite filling? Okay, menus for a suada. A lot of us go out for one, but we tend to have one of them at home, you know, just for family and that.
Right.
Like, what is your must-have thing on your menu for suada?
Okay, so it's my, as everybody knows, I'm so proud, my twin granddaughter's 15th birthday this year.
Oh, wow.
So, and they were born in Purim.
Yes,
so
I remember.
So it's always it's one of my favorite holidays for that reason. So it's always something that the children will be able to eat as well.
Yeah.
So this year, well, I'm doing, I think, I'm not sure yet. We haven't planned it properly.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of doing fresh basil infused tomato and lentil soup.
Oh, nice.
As starters, but with those crunchy corn nibs can get now. They're lovely. And Persian flatbread.
Oh, nice.
So that's one thing. What I'm going to do is actually, because we like, and we don't like the biscuit hamantaschen, we like the dough, the bready ones. So what I did was I've been playing around with ideas for a pyramid, a triangle. So what I've done is I use my challah dough or any dough, roll it up into little balls, get a rectangular tray. And if you're going to have a milchik meal, take the balls, push a square of cheddar cheese in it, roll it up, and I put it onto a tray, okay? And then what I do is I put five little balls or 6 little balls at the bottom, and I build it up, going from 6 to 5 to 4 to 3 to 2 to 1. Okay, so there's your triangle.
Yeah.
And everybody can take off.
Oh, break apart. Cheese balls. Oh, sounds good.
Break apart hamantaschen. Big hamantaschen.
That sounds fun.
You can also do the galette hamantaschen, you know, which is the, but this, you'd need biscuit dough for that.
Yeah.
And then you just fold it in. I do more for pudding. So I do an apple, which I can give you the quick recipe if you want. Let me find my recipe.
Sounds like such fun.
Yeah, and you know what I did this year? Actually, what I'm thinking of doing is I made ricotta cheese.
Yes.
It is so simple.
It's so easy to make. I've been making it for years. Alan Bender gave me the recipe.
Okay, so what's your recipe?
I'll have to look that up. Okay. It's on my website.
My recipe is I just take 2 liters of full cream milk. Has to be full cream milk.
Yes.
Okay, and then I start with 1.5 lemons, and I see if it starts to separate properly. Or I warm up the milk, first. Don't boil the milk. You just warm it up, and you see those little bubbles on the top. Then you add the lemon juice, and you just stir it, and it starts to separate. You strain it through a muslin cloth, and either you can hang it up and let it dry out. I used it straight away, and I made little pastry things with onion, fried onion, and ricotta, caramelized onion, and ricotta, and in these little triangle pastries. They went down very well, so I think I'll make that for him as well. But on the sweet side, so as you know, you do have your pastry base, and then you fill it and you turn
just
the edges,
so
it doesn't fall out, and you bake it. And what I did was I wanted more like an American apple sauce.
Okay,
in the middle.
Yes.
Not sauce, apple pieces. Okay.
Yes. So, like a compote thing.
Yeah, so I took 4 medium apples, cubed them, added 1/3 cup of sugar, 3 or 4 tablespoons of water, 2 tablespoons of butter, a teaspoon of cinnamon, and 1 tablespoon of cornstarch dissolved in about 1/4 cup of cold water. Mix that all together, threw it into the pot, and you get this lovely, thick apple tart filling, so to speak, like they do in America. And that's easy enough. You can do that for pudding in the shape of a triangle.
Yeah.
And what else am I making? As I said, I'm going to make savory hamantaschen, the ricotta and the things. So either if I go meat, I'll do the bolognese with the basil pesto.
Yeah.
Either that, or if I go milchig, then I'll do the ricotta and onion. What else can I advise you on? You know what we haven't just and a salad. A salad. I mean, that is quite easy. Just get as many seeds, as many nuts, as many, because that's what Queen Esther ate. And we have a beautiful seeded salad with some avo and some butter lettuce and some cucumber.
So Waldorf would actually come in quite handy here.
So, if you go milky, go put the blue cheese on.
Yes.
And I mixed it with Bobochard's salad dressing.
Oh, okay.
And poured that over. And that was a winner, so try that.
Okay, so Alan Bender's ricotta recipe was 2 liters of, once again, full cream milk.
Yeah.
2 cups of cream.
Oh.
Yes. 4 teaspoons of salt. 1/2 cup of good white vinegar. Although, look, we can only do the spirit vinegar, so that's what we've got, and that's what we use. He says, set a large sieve over a deep bowl, dampen a clean dishcloth with water and line the sieve with the cloth. So you don't need the cheesecloth if you haven't got. Pour the milk and the cream into a stainless steel pot. Aluminum is not great with milk, so just make sure that your pots are stainless steel. Stir in the salt and bring to a full boil over medium heat, stirring occasionally. I don't even have salt on my main recipe.
No, turn you off did the have heat. Salt. In fact,
I
forgot to put salt in.
Turn off
with 2 teaspoons.
Turn off the heat and stir in the vinegar and allow the mixture to stand for a minute until it curdles. It will then separate into thick parts and milky parts. Pour it over the cloth-lined sieve and allow it to drain in a bowl at room temperature for about 20 to 25 minutes. And occasionally you'll discard the liquid that collects under the bowl if you don't have a deep enough bowl, because you don't want it sitting in that liquid. And the longer you let the mixture drain, the thicker the ricotta. Then you transfer it into a bowl, discarding the cloth and any remaining whey that's left in, and use immediately or wrap in plastic and refrigerate, and it can keep in your fridge for up to 5 days. So that is great, because you can't always get kosher ricotta.
No.
And for you and me, we need the Chalav Yisrael ricotta, and that's even harder to find.
Yeah, so you just make your own. It's so simple. And then what I did was I also added to my ricotta, I added some cream and I used my hand blender and I made cream cheese.
You just
add little bits at a time until you get that
consistency. That's correct. Absolutely. And then, like I said, for me, for Purim, we kind of do what we call our treif meal. And I tend to either do, if I'm going to do a milk meal, then what I'll do is I'll do like a vegetarian burger patty with real cheese slice over it. So you've got your cheeseburger, and then we've got the dairy ice cream. So it's a meat meal with milk ice, you know, with milk and stuff, meat in inverted commas. And then if we do a meat meal, then I use the vegan cheese. And you can now get, I'll make ice cream because or I'll go and buy from like somewhere really good. Some of the vegan ice cream tastes a bit like salt, soap. So I don't buy that one. But we do. We tend to have like a mock meal where we'll use cream substitutes if we want a whipped cream. And we do make it into a fun one. And then you also said we do like start with dessert. Is another way to do it, and it's such fun. And when you're doing it that way, you can actually start with a milk dessert, clear your table, clean your mouth, and then have some meat.
Exactly. We got an SMS to ask, how do we do our pastry for the Hormantaschen? Okay, so that was for the ricotta and the
onion. So that's your...
Okay, so what I do is I roll out the pastry. You can either use... I like to use a whiskey glass. That gives us gives you a nice size Hormantaschen. And then you can just get the circles, I think. Or Rick does it in the freezer section.
She does. It's the square or the circle.
Yeah,
and I think the circle works better.
It's better for Hormantaschen. And then you just paint around the outside with some egg, put a teaspoonful of whatever you're going to do, and you just pull up all the sides until you
can pinch the corners.
Pinch the corners and...
Yeah. So you fold it kind of like an envelope. You'll take your circle, you choose which is your bottom, you fold that up, and then you choose the sides. And you just pinch those sides together so it makes it stand up so that you've got almost like a triangle cup to fill it with.
Right.
And then you bake it as normal. And
wash it and bake it.
And I think it works perfectly. I think the circle works the best. And what's even better is you've bought it, you haven't wasted any dough. You haven't got that little bit of dough left over that you can't do anything with.
So often when I make the Hormantaschen, the yeasty ones... It sort of like pops open in the middle. So a little trick, mix a little bit of butter or margarine, a little bit of brown sugar, and you make a little, and flour, and make a little crumble, and you put that on the top. Nobody will see that it opened.
So I learned to just poke a hole in the top, like you would do with a pie.
Right.
You know, just to give it that air for the steam to come out. Also, I think if you're doing the dough filling, you've got to learn how much filling to use, because we want it to be nice and full, but if you overfill it, then it's going to pop open. And if you don't fill it enough, it's going to seal beautifully, but when you bite in, it's just dough.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sorry, that's just not nice. That ruins it.
You know, there's another pudding that I did for Jewish life, and it was the Baroque pavlova. So I tried to get into the royal sort of vibe.
And bring pavlova into the 21st century.
Yeah, and a Baroque pavlova. So it's quite easy. I used that gold glitter, which you can actually get from the chocolate den. You ask for the kosher gold glitter. And it just livened it up somewhat.
I can imagine.
So that was a really easy thing to do. You can just use Oily Whip and you just do layers of meringue. And I think I put nougat in and I put all sorts of things.
It sounds extremely
I put some strawberries on top and made them lovely and golden with the gold dust. And I also put a bottle of the hazelnut spread. So you can, so you can use that. And and that went down a treat as well.
I can imagine it would.
That was a pudding one Friday night.
Yeah. I've got to learn to make puddings. You know what? My family have more of a savory tooth than a sweet tooth. And the ones who do have the sweet tooth can't have the sugar.
Okay.
So you've got to be careful. So I'm very, like, I don't make a lot of desserts. And that's one of the things I had to do this week was, like, actually make some kind of dessert and looking at no-bake desserts. So obviously the easiest one is the ice cream. But, you know, there's so much we can do with what we've got. So if you're not a baker or a dessert person, it is just so easy to go. You buy your power of biscuits. So I bought the chocolate chip squares from Bagel Zone. They're delicious, by the way. That's flat. And I actually made s'mores out of them.
Okay.
So marshmallow, and they already had the chocolate in the biscuit, and then just melted some dark chocolate over it and poured it over and allowed it to solidify again. So it had this like encasing of the dark chocolate. And what I did was to try and avoid the mess. Obviously, you put some newspaper down under your baking rack. You put your biscuits, you build your s'mores as you need them. And I used a blowtorch to melt my marshmallows. and it came out very nice. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take photos of it, but it came out. It was really unusual. I've never made s'mores before.
You can do it on your gas stove with a Kusasati stick.
Yeah.
But here it doesn't burn.
Well, that's why the blowtorch I have more, and it's a little chef's blowtorch, so I had more control over it. Okay. Not a cushioning blowtorch, little handheld thing. So I had a little bit more control over it, and it went down a treat, and I actually enjoyed it. I mean, I did feel a little bit nauseous after the third one, but hey, it was worth it. So you know, looking at, and I think we've got to always remember when we're balancing these things is Purim is a great time to have fun and experiment and just mess around with recipes. But I know you've also, over the years, we've all learned our little tricks. But one of the things I've learned a lot of is that there must always be either a fresh element or a savory element to go with a sweet element. And so when you're doing your s'mores, which are extra sweet, I had a lemon sorbet, and they just went so nicely together with fresh strawberries, and it just all mixed so well together. But I also did a mango sorbet with ginger biscuits as a sandwich, as an ice cream sandwich. Okay. And they were also such fun.
Funny, you know, I've got a thing that I can't have sorbet like with a pudding.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work for me. I have to have it separate and a separate. And my father was exactly the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had to have our
and
ice cream.
And my dad also.
Separately to the pudding.
Like
it's creamy. If it's a creamy pudding, okay, you'll put the ice cream in.
my late father was also like, if you served fruit salad, the ice cream came in a separate bowl. Fruit salad and ice cream, that's a fantastic thing, but don't put them in the same thing. Not in the same bowl.
Well, and chocolate sauce with on ice cream with a fruit salad?
Mm-mm. No. But he did have chocolate sauce with his... No, ice cream with his chocolate sauce more than chocolate sauce with his ice cream. Which, yeah. I mean, now, I don't know. We used to be able to get... Remember those ones that used to get hard and you could crack them?
Yes.
I wish we could get those that weren't milchik and were kosher.
Maybe overseas. Maybe someone will bring it in.
Yeah.
Nudge.
The other thing I'm looking for is Chalav Israel, like brie and camembert. And I think I'm sending you with money next time you go to England to bring me back some.
Now, I've actually been playing a lot.
Yeah.
It's been home and tashna overkill in my kitchen. Okay, because I've been playing for the articles and
yeah.
And I did a home and tashin, and I used tahini, as I say everywhere else. I call it tahina. I used tahini.
There's a difference.
Yes, I know the one's more savory.
No, but the tahini's almost got like a bitter taste, and it's liquid.
Okay.
The tahina is like a bit thicker. And it has more flavor to it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I just had that this week, and I took a teaspoonful of it. I'm like, that's not nice.
So, I've been playing with mine, putting the tahina in the actual biscuit dough this time.
Oh, in the biscuit dough. Savory biscuit dough.
And then putting chalva on top. Oh. Now you can use, you can actually put tahina also in a yeasty dough.
Yes.
It's also lovely. And then I put chalva on top, well, in the middle. Mm. But on the biscuit one, I put it
on top.
On top.
That sounds like an amazing sugar overload.
I've got a Homantashen dairy recipe.
Yeah.
Should we share that?
Okay.
So it's only because I use this one. It's 175 grams of butter at room temperature. Or if you want them parov, you can use that plant butter that I always talk about.
Yes.
And then we need 2/3 of a cup of icing sugar. And this is what keeps it lovely and sort of almost a rich, biscuity flavor. Okay.
We'll come back to the rest of the recipe.
Should be.
In a minute.
Oh, okay.
So that you've got time to expand.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Okay, we're going to carry on with your beautiful Homantashen recipe, shall we?
Okay, so I'll start again. Yes. This is dairy or parov. Mm-hmm. Okay, 175 grams of butter at room temperature or plant butter for parov. 2/3 of a cup of icing sugar. As I said, it makes the dough lovely and rich. 1 large egg, room temperature, lightly beaten. 1 teaspoon of vanilla. 1 teaspoon of grated orange zest. 2 cups of flour. 2 tablespoons of custard powder. 1/4 teaspoon of salt. And then you may need some water if you feel that the dough is a bit too hard, but you'll see as you go along. 1 to 5 teaspoons, no more. Okay, so I beat the butter and the sugar until light and creamy. Then I added the egg and I continued to beat. Added the vanilla, the orange zest, and then turned the machine down and I added the flour and the salt to the wet ingredients. And the custard powder, of course. Now you've got to mix it really well, because sometimes what happens is the custard powder makes little red flicks.
Yeah, like it gets a it's very odd to see.
And then you stick it into some cling wrap, plastic wrap, and then put it in the fridge. Now it's very important to put it in the fridge, especially in South Africa and with this weather.
Yeah.
Okay, so refrigerate for a minimum of like 4 to 5 hours, you know, it must go nice and hard and firm. Yep. And then it becomes actually easier to roll. We put a little bit of flour down and roll it out to about, what, like 0.5 centimeter?
Mm.
Okay. And you lightly flour, a smooth surface, and using a rolling pin, roll the dough out to about 0.5 centimeter, as I said. And then you just keep scraping the dough up with a, because it will start to get warm because of the butter. Scrape up all the bits and pieces of your rolling area. And then, as I say, get your whiskey glass and cut it out.
Yeah.
And then put a teaspoon of your whatever filling you feel like.
Yeah.
And then you just pinch the corners together, and there you have it. You can put them back in the fridge if you want to. You don't have to put them too far apart on the tray, because they don't have baking powder in them.
Yeah.
So they, you know, keep them quite close together. And that's a story. It's as easy as that. And also what I did was I put a little bit of flour onto my whiskey cup as well.
Okay, yes.
So yeah. It makes
Otherwise
it easier.
Sticks to your whiskey cup.
Sticks to the cup. And there you have it.
How long do you cook it for?
And yes, of course. 180 for, check it after 15 minutes. It may need a little bit more.
Okay, and before move on to a very sweet item to add into your Mishloach Monot, we're going to talk Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults. Offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here. Okay, so, you know, I always struggle when I want to put, like, make up the mesh like monad. What do you decide to put
that's
on?
That's my nightmare.
So I found these fairly easy biscuits that my daughters will make. And it's Rocky Road oatmeal cookies. So it's kind of a...
Okay.
The oatmeal part is, I suppose you could say, it's healthy and it does use whole wheat flour, but you can use white if you want. It's 3/4 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of white sugar, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 2 eggs, 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence, 1.5 cups of whole wheat flour, 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of bicarbonate of soda. For those who want to know, that's baking soda. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1.5 cups of oats. Don't use the instant oats. Rather use the old-fashioned ones.
Cause, Jungle oats.
The instant oats have sugar in them already. And then 1/2 cup of mini marshmallows plus extra for your topping. So that sounds like. In a large bowl, you're going to whisk together your oil, your sugar, your egg, and your vanilla. And then you're going to add your flour, your cocoa, your baking powder, your bicarb, and your salt. And you're going to mix them very well together. And then you're going to stir in your oats and your marshmallow. And you're going to refrigerate it for about an hour. You preheat your oven to about 180 degrees. You line your baking sheets with parchment paper. Or if you really, you know, spray it really well with one of the sprays. And then gently flour it to stop the biscuits from sticking. And you're going to scoop the dough into the sheets, leaving about 5 centimeters between each scoop. So you can use your ice cream scoop. It works really well. And each scoop, you're going to put a little bit of marshmallow on top. And you literally bake them for 11 minutes. And the reason you use the ice cream scoop is because as they're cooking, with that sugar, it starts to melt and flatten out into normal-sized biscuits or cookies, whatever you want to call them. And they are just so sweet and delicious. And I think they do sound like they would go well in winter, but we're supposed to be getting cooler. So hot chocolate and an oatmeal biscuit, I could do with that.
I could also.
Or a cup of coffee if you really are one of those. So we're still waiting to hear from some more people, which is their preference of a baked biscuit or a dough-style hamantaschen, if anybody, and your favorite fillings. And if you have a recipe for that, we'd love to hear your recipe.
You know, one thing I forgot to mention was that with the halva and tchina biscuits.
Yeah.
What I did was instead of, let's say it was 175 grams of butter, I did 100 grams of butter and 75 grams of the tahina.
Oh, okay.
That's what I did to incorporate the tahina, and then I just put the halva on top. Okay. And you can put a cherry in the middle.
There you go. You're listening to Sharon and Adrian on the Essen Fresen Show.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fresen. It's all about the food.
Okay, and while it is all about the food, I got to know, what are you dressing up for Purim as?
Oh, I'm dressing up only because I found a hat when I was cleaning out my Wendy house.
Yes.
Because my daughter, to put it very sweetly, said to me, Ma, if you don't clean out that Wendy house, she said, when, God forbid, if you're not here one day, I'm going to burn it. I keep all my overlays and tablecloths and all that in there. Anyway, so I was cleaning out, and I found a beautiful cowboy hat.
Oh, there
so
you go.
That's why I decided to go as a cowboy.
Okay, that sounds like fun.
And what are you going as?
So I'm going to dress up as a chef because I actually won't even be here. I am going to be in Zimbabwe, so I will be listening to my Megillah reading and following along on Zoom or on WhatsApp voice, depending on how they get it through to me from Shul.
You know, we're talking about Mishloach Manot.
Yeah.
Hatzolah are actually doing the most beautiful thing. I think you can get, it's like a little, obviously a little cardboard ambulance.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
Inside it's all beautiful little things that I think R175 and one if you want
so
meat and biltong and dry horse and that is I think R150. But I think it's
a fun idea.
Because I mean you're doing two mitzvahs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What a fun idea. So, I like that. I like the little ambulance thing. I always liked watching how people pack their mishlach mona because mine just come in an ordinary packet.
Sometimes I get very creative.
Oh, no.
And sometimes I battle a bit.
My creativity means it's got tied with a ribbon and not a knot.
Oh,
you know what? There are times, like, I mean, when the kids were all at school and you're packing for four kids and you can't just do three, you know, because we used to meet at the park. It was very clever of one of the moms. Everybody met at the park.
Yes.
Stopped you driving around to everybody's houses and missing each other.
Yes.
And you exchanged all my shlach monet there. But you can't just do three.
Yeah.
You know, the whole class.
The whole class. And if you give to this one, you've got to give to that one. Right. If you give to that one.
So mine were like seriously as simple as I could make it for myself.
Yeah.
So that's like the main thing.
No, I think Kalinora, I've got a big family. So it's just the family. So my friends, please don't get upset.
Yeah, no. It's just sometimes you can't. I'm also one of these last minute people. Like I always say to people, Shabbos catches me by surprise every Friday. So Purim Mishlach Monot is also kind of, if it wasn't for the show, I wouldn't even think about it. You know, because of the timing of the show, I would think about it. But otherwise, probably, I think this year it's on the Sunday, I'd probably wake up on the Friday and realize I needed to pack stuff. You know, I'm very bad.
Yeah. No. I need to get my...
You know, meal planning is one thing, but Mishlach Monot is like a totally new one. So that is always, you know, something different. It's like also wanting to invite people. And I'm like... It's already Wednesday. I think it's a little late now.
For Shabbos. Yeah. So you're okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we're going to be having fun. I know that my family will be at shul having a beautiful Purim party at shul.
Yes.
So it looks like a lot of fun that I'm going to miss. But
it's Purim in Israel this year.
Oh, yeah.
Purim in Israel.
Yes.
So I need another. Need to be something blue and white.
Okay. That's it. Yes, it's going to be interesting. You're going to have to send me lots of photos.
I'll take
I know Rabbi Hadar will take plenty of photos as well and everybody else, but it's always fun. Did you go to the winemaking?
My husband did.
Because we're now planning, I mean, Purim is just around the corner, but sorry, folks, Pesach is just as close.
Exactly. Got about 10 or 12 recipes in Jewish life this time. So
stunning.
Go there and have a look.
So we are getting ready for our Purim, and we're wishing everybody a Freilach Purim. We're wishing that this Purim brings us all miracles and all the hostages are released once again. You have been listening to Adrian and Sharon on the Essen Freshen Show this week.